Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Hoping you're having a great day and looking forward to chatting with you again about Joshua and the whole theme that we've chosen, not being afraid to follow the Lord. And I pray that God gives you confidence today and gives you a renewed encouragement to do whatever it is that God is leading you to do in your own life. So whether you're a teenager listening today or a senior citizen or somebody in between, I want to thank you for joining the podcast, and we're going to dive right in. Hannah is with me again today, and as I've said, Hannah is my favorite daughter.
I hope so. Yeah.
And Hannah actually has a daughter herself. So Hannah, tell us a little bit about your baby girl.
Flora is my puppy. She just turned one on Valentine's Day.
Psycho puppy.
Yeah, she's extremely hyper. She's Beagle, German Shepherd, Lab mix.
Yeah, I didn't think that dogs could have like ADHD.
I think she does.
Yeah, like I don't know if they make Ritalin for dogs, but they probably need to.
Probably should.
She is just out of control.
Yeah, she's crazy hyper. Almost 24/7.
But I will reluctantly admit that, you know, I do like Flora.
You love her.
I kind of like her. I like dogs that are big enough to bite people that you don't like, and that are real dogs because they, you know, they have some girth to them.
And not yippy little rats.
The yippy little. Now, Hannah, that was not kind.
There I feel like you've said that before.
That have Chihuahuas and Shih Tzus and I'm not against having those pets. That's fine. You can have those pets, but just admit what they are. They're not really dogs. They're really cats masquerading as dogs, identifying as dogs. Mm. Real dogs are anyway, I'm digressing. Hey, we're in a section in Joshua that is really dynamic because the people are fresh off this huge victory. And so think about it, for hundreds of years, they've been slaves, and even though they've been liberated for the last 40 years, they've been wandering. They've won a few battles on the other side of the Jordan, but now they're finally there.
Their first real freedom in forever.
and really in a lifetime. And for Joshua especially, who had this 40-year delay after having wanted to go in, you know, there they are, and what does God do? God just comes through like he always does. Gives them a huge victory. I mean, you talk about encouragement. You talk about an impetus to move forward. There it is. They're right there. And yet, as is so often the case in the Bible, after a great victory, there's a crashing defeat. And hey, I've seen that in my own life. You know, you get overconfident. You think wrongly that, wow, great victory. I must be strong. I must be big. I must be better. And not really understanding how God did it and all that God was working. And remember what God had said. Last podcast, we talked about it. He specifically told them, hey, I want Jericho to belong to me. All the spoil, it belongs to me.
Exactly. You know, it's so true because, like you said, we get so overconfident in our own lives. You read the Bible and you think, how in the world could they go from huge victory? And, you know, it was all obviously God. It really was a miracle. The walls falling down. And then they go straight to being overconfident. But
and the
in
one
my
thing,
own life, that happens all the time.
And the one thing God had told them was, guys, this belongs to me. Don't touch it. And what we're going to find is what happens when we disobey God. So chapter 7 and verse 1, the children of Israel committed a trespass. Isn't that interesting? The children of Israel committed a trespass. Now, what do you and I both know? We know that that trespass was committed by
Achan.
And yet when God assesses the trespass, he says, hey, group, you did this. And then the Bible says, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, there were some cool names in the Bible, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So, you know, help me to understand that. Why would God view this as a corporate sin when, you know, like if I were living that during that time, I'd say, okay, you know, Achan did something wrong, but I didn't. You know, 99.9% of us obeyed. Why would God be holding them accountable for corporately? Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. You know, at first, it's like crickets. I don't know. But then I got to thinking, you know, God blesses and uses corporate entities. So whether that be a family or whether that be a local church, to put it in today's for us to understand it today.
Well, the members are important.
Exactly. So in 1 Corinthians 12, you have the local church illustrated in terms of individual members. So if my arm gets broken, I don't say, well, you know, it's just my arm. You know, the rest of my body's fine. No, my whole body hurts. Mm. You know, if I sprain my ankle, then my whole body gets involved. You know, my eyes get involved. They start crying. You know, my voice gets involved. Help! my other leg gets involved. It takes on additional weight. Mm. You know, so there are the body.
The consequences from one member emanates to everyone else.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, is that, okay, if I get cancer in my body, let's say they find a cancerous spot on my lung, I don't say, oh, well, that's just one little spot. I've got a, you know, a big body and it's a one little spot in my lung. I'm not concerned. That would be ridiculous. You know, because one invasion, one little cancerous spot, that's going to affect my entire body. So God's helping us to understand the principle of symbiosis, to understand that we are in this thing together. You know, and God wants there to be purity in the body, whether it be the local church, whether it be our family, whether it be, you know, whatever the entity might be. So we're going to learn some principles about my behavior affects other people. And we're seeing it here at the beginning of the chapter, but wow, are we going to see it big time at the end of the chapter? Because Achan affects the victory that they should have had at Ai that they don't have, but Achan's sin also affects his own family. And his own family suffers because he made a really, really bad choice. So let's go on in chapter 7. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven. You know, Hannah, if you're at Jericho, which we've been, and you look at the mountains, because when you cross the Jordan River, there's a little Jordan River Valley, but then the mountains, not huge mountains, but the mountain is right behind Jericho. So Ai is on the other side of those mountains. So the people needed to labor by getting over those mountains or traveling through those passes and getting into the hill country. And that's where Ai was, basically west, maybe a little bit north, but west of Jericho. So Joshua sent the men, said, go up and view the country. So standard operating procedure, let's send spies in. So Joshua and Caleb, they were spies 40 years before. Joshua had sent spies into Jericho. Now he's sending spies into Ai, and it just seems like that's the standard operating procedure. That's kind of the MO, is let's spy out, but not spying the land to say if we should go in, but spying the land to see how we should go in. So in other words, we should never check out God's will to decide, you know, yes or no, but we should check out God's will to decide how. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, not becoming professional almost, like, I know how to do this now, so, you know, I'm going to do it my way.
Right, or even selective.
Yeah.
To say, you know, I get to choose the things I do or do not want to do. No, God's kind of giving the order. They knew they had to conquer all the cities, but that doesn't preclude us from planning and figuring, strategizing. Right. I think that's part of it as well. So the spies return and they said to Joshua, "Let not all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but a few." And you know, the Bible doesn't specifically condemn that advice, but what I see in that a little bit of overconfidence, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. He's like, oh, it won't be a big deal.
This will be a mop-up job. AI yeah. is so much smaller than Jericho. We don't need everybody. You know, why waste everybody's time? Again, when God came back to Joshua about the defeat that's going to take place, he didn't reference the overconfidence. He didn't say that this was a sinful piece of advice that was given by the spies.
But, it seems logical.
But it just doesn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they were overconfident. We can handle this. And I've seen that even in the sports arena. You know, a team gets up for a huge game against an arch rival and they win a big victory only to lose to some...
The underdogs.
Right, some no-name team because they were overconfident. They were looking beyond that game to the next game. But be that as it may, they went up to Ai, and in verse 5, they lost. They lost the battle. They went, and 36 of the men that fought in that battle were killed, and the people of God were embarrassed. They retreated, and then... The very last part of verse 5 says this. So listen to this part, Hannah. It says, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. These are the same people that are shouting in Jericho. These are the same people that are saying, hey, we can handle this city with 2,000 or 3,000. No big deal. Now the Bible says their hearts melted. The people are scared to death. Which brings us right full circle to our theme. God does not want us to be afraid to follow him. And now we have people that are deathly afraid.
Even more reason to trust in God because our hearts are so fickle, our emotions are roller coasters. So we can't trust our emotions or even our logic to a degree, obviously, but following, sure. Putting God first.
Yeah, so just in 5 short verses, we've learned, hey, my behavior, my action is going to affect other people. We've learned, hey, I dare not be overconfident. You know, I've got to remember that little or big, whatever the battle is, I need to trust God and realize it's not my might and my strength and my prowess, but God that brings the victory. And then thirdly, when we don't do things God's way, when we realize just how weak we are, it's going to bring fear in our lives. Fear really is the result of self-sufficiency and self-focus.
It's good.
So when I trust myself, and because I know myself, and when I trust myself, I'm not trusting a good resource because, you know, I've been wrong a ton of times. And I have failed a ton of times. How much better just simply to trust the Lord? So we'll see how this story unfolds. Some of you already know, but we'll bring some principles out. And I look forward to talking to each one of you tomorrow.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.